Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares stories, miracles, and an approach to harness universal energy to help us remember our intuitive nature and the personal power we possess to effect necessary changes and manifest our most joyful, loving, and excellent life experience. Today, I welcome Marion Baker, a registered therapeutic counselor with a specialty in transpersonal therapy, a modality that marries spirituality and psychology. As we all know, love is what makes the world go around and is the focus of either so much joy or suffering. But many unrealistic thoughts and beliefs surround this phenomenon. Perhaps today, in simplifying the mystery, we may find a way to discover love in its many forms. Hello, Marion.
Hello, Cheryl. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're most welcome. Marion, you know, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, each guest and I really seek answers to age-old questions about who we are, what we are here to discover, and how we can find ways to manifest and sustain our best life. In other words, self-investigation and self-mastery of our emotions may lead us to know ourselves, our relationships, the world, and to live a more conscious and open-hearted life. And that's going to create the best reality. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Marion will discuss her search into alternative healing methods as she struggled through years of internet dating, failed relationships, and didn't have a clue for sustaining a lasting relationship, as so many people out there, and as evidenced by 60% of marriages failing. She will share how transpersonal psychology encouraged her to face her own self-defeating patterns and her realization that we are not alone in our struggles and our search for true love. Marion, I often ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember an event, person, or interest that may have been the precursor to the values and interests and work you hold now as an adult. So take a trip back for a minute.
What a great question. Okay. Here's the thing that the most life-changing thing that I think has come through for me recently, and my greatest, because I always think that your greatest struggle is actually your greatest opportunity. And so my greatest struggle was my relationship with my mom. And there wasn't just necessarily an event so much as I was always afraid of her. And so in learning actually, you know, how to counsel and how to not take things on and not take on other people's struggles, and just being with my own emotions, my own thoughts, my own feelings, getting connected to source through that process, I actually have changed my relationship to her and to my family, which always felt difficult, and now I can actually just enjoy and love them for where they're at.
Well, you know, as children, Marion, we don't realize that our parents can make mistakes, or that they have, you know, days where they don't feel well or personal problems, and sometimes when they respond harshly in the moment, we're very deeply wounded or sensitive nature, and it's held at a cellular level. And I see so many children respond that way when a parent turns around and says, "Why didn't you listen to me? You're not doing it right. Let's change that thought now." And or they grab them by the arm. What they're doing is stopping that individual from following their own needs and path. Every soul is born with a life plan and a destiny, and the kids pretty well know what to do if we didn't say no to them all the time and frighten them like you were frightened. So I understand. Yeah.
I actually also see it as not only our greatest struggle, but also our greatest opportunity. And through our wounding, so to speak, actually grow our greatest strengths.
Absolutely.
So there's a, you know, sort of a double-edged thing here. It's like our greatest skill is also what can be our greatest detriment. So through those, I often think that because of who my parents were, I grew up to be who I am, which was part of the divine plan.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
You know,
yeah.
I think we come in with a life plan. We actually pick our parents to have the experience we need so that we can
Become who we are.
develop. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It seems when we look back, many of us would say, you know, I wouldn't change it really.
I
Because
know, I
I
know.
needed those experiences. You're absolutely right. So
Yeah.
tell us.
Can I tell a little story about someone who had a really tough life?
Sure.
It's a story that I've shared in my book. It was somebody that I knew that had been sexually abused when she was a child. And one day she was, you know, sitting there yelling, and she's a psychic, so she has guides. And so she was yelling at her guides, going, why would I grow up like that? Why was my life like that? And so they asked her, so how would you have liked to have your life be? And so it was kind of like, you know, the Ghost of Christmas Past, where
yes.
she got to say, well, I would have wanted to have this and this and this and this happen. And they said, okay, well, here's your future. Had you had that happen? And she went, oh, well, I don't like who I would have become.
Excellent.
And, yeah.
So everything is as it should be.
As it should be.
And once we know that, once we really accept that, so much of the fear that we hold about our past and so much fear that we hold about the future sort of leaves us, and we can be in this moment of growth and change and know that change is really so good for us. But let's go on. Tell us, please, some of your own self-defeating patterns, including the commonly shared fantasy dream of a relationship. This relationship.
Yes, lovely Cinderella fantasy.
Right, that would save you.
Yeah.
Or all of us.
Pardon?
It would save you this relationship, the Cinderella relationship, and
yes.
perhaps
oh my
every
gosh.
Woman has this.
I mean, I was the youngest child, so, you know, I was the one that had the least responsibility in the family, so I was always the, you know, the optimistic one with the rose-colored glasses, and so I bought into all the fairy tales and all the Hollywood movies, hook, line, and sinker, and thought that, you know, this man who was going to be the one was going to come along and be this, you know, perfect fairy tale romance person. And as soon as they became a human being in my eyes, I would cut and run.
Well, that's what every one of us is dealing with because of the media. And the men also are dealing with
yeah.
this reality that they have to be something other than who they are, which is not possible. So everybody's missing the boat there because we have to accept people and ourselves as we are, flawed,
yeah.
as flawed human beings and individuals.
Right.
And look for the love. But you
yeah.
sum it up in the following paragraph, some of the patterns you harbored as a result of childhood that made it hard for you to sustain a loving relationship. And you wrote, my own family culture was to be hard on each other, not interact much or show much love or affection. If I described the way love felt to me in my family, it would be guarded. Distance was maintained by being critical and learning to accept criticism. It was a mindset that helped my family survive on some level. Don't get too close, you could get hurt. But it didn't bring any of us closer together or give us the skills to enjoy a life built on loving relationships. I'm going to say a good number of the people listening today had exactly the same scenario in their upbringing, where they weren't surrounded with trust and love, and as a result, developed many patterns of misfunctioning out in the world due to fear. Fear
yeah.
being the largest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, back in my grandmother's day, I couldn't imagine sitting, you know, her sitting in a 12-step program or in a group therapy circle, because it just didn't exist. You know,
absolutely.
It was bare-bones survival then, and you followed what your ego told you to do to survive. And so, the more that families did that, they became more closed and closed and closed because you had to follow the rules that, you know, the people put in place to survive the last dilemma or the last loss the family felt. And so that, you know, your family system becomes more and more closed with more rules. And the only way to break out of that system is to start breaking the rules. You know, you need a rebel in your family, and that was me. All of us pioneering this, you know, this new way of life, this new way of thinking, using our emotions and our emotional struggles to connect to spirit, are the rebels. Like, we're the ones opening up a new paradigm.
Yes, it's happening, and it has been happening really full blown and full scale since 2012, which was moving from an age of these restrictions and social mores that no longer work, and an industrialized society which has lost track of the human and humane qualities that we need to survive in the future. And so we are bringing in now self-actualization for each person and the soul. And one way or another, that's what we were born to do, find our inner self and to resonate on this planet with a vibration of compassion, love, and happiness, not suffering.
You
Not
have a great way
suffering.
with words. It's so lovely.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, let's go on to tell us about your working at Clear Mind International Retreat Center. A lot of special things went on there. Can you tell us?
Yeah, that was actually how I did my counseling program. And as I was saying, it's a transpersonal psychology counseling program. And it's a registered and accredited program, but it's actually spiritually based, which is, in my mind, very pioneering. It's like, yay. And so my training is based on A Course in Miracles. And so the whole idea of the concept of that is your salvation lies in forgiveness of yourself and of others. So, and that's really the only key, is like, how in this moment, no matter what your struggle, no matter what's going on, how loving can you be to yourself and to others? That's your whole mandate. That's it.
Let's take a look at that. You say forgiveness is the key that unlocked it all for you, and perhaps for everybody. But what is it we have to forgive? What is it we have to discover about ourselves and the world? And why is that the all-important
I mean,
goal?
there's layers of our psychology, and our first layer is the mask that we show to the world, and then under that we get to our attack and blame self, and then under that we get to the guilt and shame that we carry, and then underneath that we get to all the things that we're believing about ourselves that are, a lot of us don't feel worthy or don't feel lovable or feel like we have to do everything alone or don't feel safe. And ultimately, our biggest belief, and this is where A Course in Miracles says, you don't have to work out every little detail. Just know that your biggest belief is you think that you're disconnected from the source of love right now.
Right,
And
so.
that, and yeah, and if that, if you can just get that peace, then we can all be walking on water and turning water into wine. I'm still working on that myself.
We'll be working on it for eons. So, in other words, for our listeners out there, good parenting teaching and good medical practitioners are starting to understand that we have to allow for individuality, honoring and encouraging uniqueness, differences, rather than pigeonholing people into unrelenting and painful situations that may not be right for them. Well, that's what happened to many of us as children. We were expected to be someone other than perhaps we were, because there's so much competition in the world. Parents mean well. They want their children to be able to find a career and home and love and sustain themselves with it all. But the way is not through fear and not through demanding and not through letting people forget what really resonates in their heart, which is happiness, because other people expect you to do something. So for those people listening out there, I wrote this in my book, The Living Spirit. Many parents have a limited understanding of what is really going on with their children, as children are often unable to recognize why they are not feeling well or are afraid and not able to express themselves adequately. So parents have to develop their own intuitive sense. We all have it, and all we have to do is take a moment to feel what another person is feeling rather than think from our head or ego, our mind or our fears, and really start to know what's important in being a parent and in allowing children to grow into healthy adults. So,
Lovely.
yeah, don't, that's a very important theme that comes up in many shows. And you mentioned a child who was sexually abused as a child, and that has come up in many shows. And yes, we do know that whatever situation you're experiencing as a child or as an adult is part of your life plan and will give you, as you said earlier, the opportunity to grow and to move past it. Nothing's a failure. We're not perfect, and we don't have to be, because change is what is actually part of our evolution. So now, how can we tap into a source of love that is bigger than our personality and which can open us up to a bigger picture of what love is? You know, people think romantically we're all looking for that one person, but that's not really what love is. Can you tell us something about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, whatever our struggle is, I'm helping women who struggle with, you know, intimate relationships. That's my counseling passion. But ultimately, whatever your struggle is, whether it's, you know, overeating or not enough money or anything, the struggle really is just a facade for what you're trying not to feel. And through your feelings is actually the access to your issue and your access to source, really. It's through your emotional field is where you, and through your heart is where you access source. So all of our distractions, relationships, eating, money, all of that are just distractions to not feel and to not connect with what's really going on for us and ultimately not connect to source.
Absolutely. So sometimes we're acting, as you said, from our lizard brain, focused on our ego mind and our illusion, and we're forgetting the heart of the issue. So then love then is really in the giving and receiving and realizing what's important to you within your own heart and sense of personal growth. So love does not come necessarily from another person or from the outside world. It emanates from within you. And as you develop more feelings of beauty, kindness, and grace, you may draw a similar energy or person into your life. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's an interesting, really interesting piece of this puzzle is because, I mean, in my experience, you know, I come from a matriarchal family, so the women were in charge of my family. And so a lot of my friends are the same way. Like, I have strong women friends. And one of the common cries of the strong woman is that they, you know, guys don't approach them, or the guys that they meet feel inaccessible, or like they're not doing their part of the relationship, and so it becomes easy to blame the guy, and so there's a lot of finger pointing for the men. And one of the big aha moments that I have in my book is that if on an emotional, not on a behavioral level, because that becomes confusing, but on an emotional level, if we weren't on the same emotional level, that guy who is distant would not attract us. Like, we wouldn't feel attracted to him. And the reason that we do feel attracted to him is because he is emulating what we have felt as love in our family. So, you know, as we're reaching out for love with our mom or our dad, if they were distant, then that feeling of being rejected gets actually mixed up with the feeling of love as we reach out. And so that is what you're actually extending. And so that's what you're actually going to attract. And that takes the blame off the guys and puts the power back on the women. It's like, okay, well, it's not his fault. Here am I attracting this because
this is what you know. This is what you're most comfortable with.
It feels familiar, and so that's what you keep putting out. And until you actually establish a new relationship to your own emotionality, then you're going to keep attracting that guy. And so your job is to take the power back and to start you know, looking at your own emotional pattern so that you can be different, have a new relationship to it.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what happens, or what may happen, when you can give a relationship, when the relationship becomes more important than what you can get from it, what you're giving in a relationship may seem to be more than what you are receiving back. So there's an imbalance in the relationship. What can you, and this happens a lot, what can you say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I use a model where I talk about doing 50% of your 100% of the relationship. Like, so you've got the relationship that's 100%, and a woman's job is to do her 50%, but not over. And yeah, what you'll find, and a lot of the women do that, is called overfunctioning. And a lot of women will, you know, when a guy is feeling something, try to avoid him feeling his feelings, so that they'll try and fix him, or they'll try and do whatever they need to do so that he doesn't have to feel badly. Whereas that's actually overstepping your boundaries, and you're way into his backyard. And so your job is to actually step back into and just do your own piece of the puzzle, so that he has an opportunity to step up to his own plate, and then he can actually become more of an equal partner.
Well, in other words, because women have a nurturing nature,
yes.
And they do work on both sides of the brain, and they do seem to have a more spiritual sense of making things right. You're right, they're doing too much. And we have to expect and allow for the men to step up to the plate and share and encourage that, but without blame.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier you said blame. Blame serves no purpose at all in any area of our life. We can work on improving ourselves and changing ourselves and letting the other people do the same thing when they're ready for it, if they're ready for it. It is a personal growth process, and we have to allow that. Now, tell us something about the concept of the love-o-meter, which is an important, I love the term, the love-o-meter, which is an important way to recognize how you are able to share and receive love.
Yeah, it kind of goes hand in hand with what I was talking about not too long ago, where say in your family, say you're a big thermometer that goes from 0 to 100. Suddenly you're not a person, you're a thermometer. And say in your family knew how to love each other to a degree that they filled your thermometer up to 50%. So your thermometer is filled to 50 out of 100. And there might be some other, you know, cultural influences or a good mentor at school or something that helped you out. So that could fill up your love-o-meter a couple more notches. But who you are going to attract is a man who also has his love-o-meter filled up to that same level. So again, there goes the blame, because if you're attracting a guy or feeling attracted to a guy, that's the reason, is your love-o-meters are at the same level. And a really good way for a woman to kind of, or anybody really, to understand how it is that you're attracting this person, say they do something that feels like it's, you know, a boundary crossing or not respectful. If you react with an emotional reaction and do fight, flight, or freeze or whatever it is that you do, you're matching them. That is how you match somebody on an emotional level. If you could actually say to them, wow, I don't feel like what you just said was very respectful, then you're not matching them. You're actually, and then asking for what you want. It's like, hey, you know, could we not talk to each other like that? Because it feels better when, you know, we're loving each other, not talking to each other like that.
Right.
And so that's when you can step out of the situation and you're not reacting, and that's when you can grow your love-o-meter.
Yeah, so when you're being proactive rather than reactive, you've got more of an opportunity for the other person to absorb some of what you're saying. And then you could walk away. It might take a little time, and you might get back to it later. You might have a whole different reaction. So what might happily ever after look like? Everybody wants to know what it is that we receive when we're happy.
Well, it's a little bit different than the Cinderella fantasy where the prince rides up on his steed. But it to me, like, my happiness comes now from not, like, when I am emotionally triggered, to actually just asking for help, you know, because now that I'm a counselor, 30 of my best friends are counselors because we went to counseling school together. So in those moments, I get to reach out and ask for help and support. And so building a support team for when you are emotionally reacting, so that you can get help getting back to center, is, you know, worth its weight in gold.
I think you also said in the book that you will achieve self-love moving past the illusions of your childhood patterns and realize it is only your way of perceiving and thinking that keep you from achieving true happiness, peace, and love. And you wrote
Absolutely.
this, and I agree. The happiest
no, thank
pe-
you.
The happiest people I've met are the ones who have a spiritual path. They
Yes.
think differently, they have different values, and they place greater importance on nurturing vital, supportive, and loving relationships than those who are driven to pursue the thing, money, a perfect body, and perfect relationships. We have to get this really out there. There is no perfect. There is
No.
only improving and enjoying our personal growth. We don't
Yes.
need perfection. It doesn't exist in a physical world. So I'm
No.
very happy for what you wrote, and it is absolutely the truth. In my book, The Living Spirit, I write about taking responsibility for our happiness, and I say, before there can be peace and happiness in a person's life and in the world, every person must be responsible to do their own work about acknowledging what needs to change within their own attitudes or actions so that they may better relate to the outside world. Finding true happiness and joy is the natural outcome of self-investigation. There are no shortcuts. No one can make you happy or unhappy unless you give him or her the power to do that by surrendering or giving your own personal power away. Most people want to be loved and accepted by a group or an individual, regardless of the cost to their own individual character. Therefore, they tell themselves many stories in order to be accepted by others. However, it is not only by our own efforts and choices that each of us can develop a sense of accomplishment and self-growth, but by recognizing the greater whole of our being and the role we play in creating everything in our lives. I want to thank you, Marion Baker, author of The Lime Green Plastic-Covered Couch, for sharing wonderful insights into ways for self-investigation and for mastering emotions, understanding that our upbringing plays a major role in our psychological makeup, and our childhood patterns are creating many of the situations we find ourselves in as adults. To begin changes in your own emotional landscape and assume responsibility for personal growth, new perceptions, and clearer thinking for improving your relationships, purchase this book. Go to the lime green plastic covered couch.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have not just discussed Marion's search for self and love, but what ultimately drives all of us through all suffering, pain, and loss, the need to understand who we are and how we may find a happy, loving, and successful life experience. In alignment to that thought, Marion wrote, "Above all else, what I wish for each of you, and the biggest reason that inspired me to write this book, was the desire for more people to come to the world of peace and loving connection, of vulnerability, and of openness. For over 40 years, I've lived in the other world, the one of defense, pride, one-upmanship, better than, guarded, safety, and of hard and fast opinions, especially those about your life. It's lonely. No one really gets in, not even me." Marion and I ask you to remember a quote by an ancient poet, Rumi, "Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there." I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to learn more about self, relationships, love, and the search for universal truth through understanding energy, thought processes, emotions, and finding the best version of life you can manifest for yourself. Radio shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.